All right. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, depending on where you are in this wild world of ours. So we have an hour, and I know everyone has gotten very used to, I don't know how long those TikTok things are, but, very short, short attention spans. So my first request, and it really is coming from the nature of what I will be sharing, is how for us to be together in this next hour. We're not used to being asked to listen from inside a certain level of connection. So our normal way of listening without even thinking about it is some people are very generous in their listening. Some people are listening for information. I've watched people listen to, that's like this. They're using something they already know in order to reference it, in order to know what it is that you're sharing. Some people have a kind of aggressive way of listening. They're always like ready to fight with you a bit. There's a certain amount of doubt or whatever. I'm from New York, so I'm fairly familiar with that, that way of listening. So what I'm asking, depending on whatever your style is, listening compassionately or listening, sort of halfway, is that right now, where to listen from just for this hour is to come, first of all, you can use my voice. So I'm very aware that most of the audiences, the people that come to hear about what I'm speaking about, have capability in moving their consciousness around. So I'm sure that most of you are capable of, if I said, put your consciousness in your big toe, some of you could somatically really describe like exactly what you're experiencing, right? We've learned how to move our consciousness around. So if you can place your awareness rather than inside your own mind or inside your own body or experience of what you're feeling, you can include that, but allow it to come into my voice. Okay. And my voice, as you know, isn't really located anywhere. So just take a moment. And it kind of brings you out of being sort of like in your subjective world to just, there's a certain congruency, as we do that together, it's like we're listening to the same sound. Okay. And as Carolyn said, I've been a teacher for a long time, which I'll speak briefly about. Usually as a teacher, you're communicating across the gap. You're trying to communicate in such a way that people are inspired or there's transmission and that they're brought across the gap. And this listening from inside helps to dissolve the gap and actually begins to move you more into the domain of shared unity. So I'm not going to be speaking for the next hour about your individual subjective world and how to witness and how to pay more attention to what's happening in your big toe. I promise I will not do that. I'm sure there are probably people here that know how to do that way better than I can. This is about shared unity. This is about entering into a certain kind of consciousness together. Or the beginning of that, or about that. Okay, so just again, see if you can kind of extend. Takes more energy too. There's this famous thought leader who I won't mention their name, but they came to an event that I did in Berkeley, and she was hysterical. Like at the break, she said, "This is exhausting." I was like, she's very meditative, and she's been to India, and she's got a guru and the rest of it. But it is. It's like, to move beyond the force field of staying inside your own subjective world actually takes a little bit of energy. It does. So there you go. All right. Well, thank you. All right. And I might remind you from time to time, because it also allows for a different way of being together, and the communication will come through more completely. So we have, can you mute everyone? Carolyn, I think people are unmute. There's some unmuted people. I can hear little sounds. And then I can unmute myself again if you want. Carolyn? Okay, let me just see. Okay, I think that's okay then. All right, good. All right. Okay, so just a very brief piece. We're going to be speaking about thresholds of unity, the radical potentials beyond personal transformation. So I want to just give you a little, a very short clue as to, you know, who's speaking to you and my own relationship to personal transformation. So I was captured young. It wasn't like I was intending to have personal transformation be what my life was going to be about for a long time. And I was 18, and it was 1970, and I ended up meeting Werner Erhard at the very, 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 very beginning of that particular movement. Some people are aware of Landmark. You know, apparently now I'm in shock, you know, and I was very involved for 12 years. You know, there's 160,000 people a year that actually take the courses that they give, which is like, nobody does that. You know, nobody I know does that. And, you know, it was the beginning of coaching, you know, Leonard Orr, there were different people that were around that I was connected to, you know, I was like 20 years old. And I just looked it up this morning just for fun, because I know what it's like to be at the beginning of something when you don't know you're at the beginning of something. And I'm sure there are people here that have had that experience. The whole transformational, you know, work and personal, what is it called? Personal coaching, you know, all the different coaching schools. It's like a $3 billion business now, which is one way of measuring like how many people are actually involved in that around the world, which I think is fascinating. You know, I hadn't seen that. You know, there are a couple of people here that were familiar with that work. And, you know, totally clueless at 18. He was very kind and took me under his wing and taught me how to get up in front of groups and work with people. And I discovered, just by being given, you know, night after night, day after day, for 12 years, I literally taught 6 days a week, you know, the opportunity to be with so many people. And then since then, thousands and thousands of people in the work of personal transformation and spiritual awakening, different kinds of awakening. And I would imagine the people here have had, you know, anything from many decades to, you know, you started a year ago, but you're, you know, you've been working on yourself in some which way, right? Raise your hand if you know what I'm talking about. Okay. You know, you didn't just wander in here from, from something else. And I remember back then how exciting it was, you know, the thought that you could create your life and you could have a life that you loved and you could make a difference in the world and have an impact. And all of that was beyond thrilling. And it was real. And, you know, I was like good at it. I was, you know, I got to be very, very effective. I thought that was everything. And then non-dual awakening, you know, everything, you know, we've been in a process, kind of like the peak of a certain process for the last number of years, you know, last five decades or longer. And about 15 years ago, I kind of got this feeling of like, and you ever have that feeling? You know, it's kind of like, okay, and okay, and so 15 years ago, I just couldn't do it anymore. I mean, I literally, you know, I wanted people's lives to work, and I wanted people to awaken to the the miraculous discovery of an individual experience of the divine, but I couldn't do it. And I started working with a small group of people in order to see if something I had experienced for 4 years with a lover, you know, with a very mystical German, beautiful man named Peter, that we had been in a dual awakening together for 4 years before he died. That was extraordinary. You know, that was a 24/7 kind of, we were inside an awakened reality together. And that was nothing I had learned before. Usually you're paying attention to your subjective experience. The first threshold has to do with this individual awakening. And where you pay attention is you pay attention to, you know, heart, mind, body, higher consciousness, you're witnessing, you're meditating, you're praying, you're focused on your shadow. I mean, you're focused in different ways in order to pay attention to, you know, what's unfolding for you, right? Writing in your journal and self-care, you know, and not getting too stressed out and, you know, having boundaries and making sure that, you know, those things are cared for. And Peter shows up, you know, somewhere a longer time ago, I was like in my 30s. And for 4 years, we ended up being, and he was really intensely committed to awakening. Like always, you know, he woke up in the morning and the moment he woke up, he's bringing the space from the other side. Like he never went normal. He never just watched a football game or something. He's German, so he would watch soccer, but he just never, there was not a moment that he wasn't paying attention to being awake. So in that we slipped into a place that continued to unfold and unfold, where instead of a subjective experience, you know, like me awakening or him awakening, we actually fell into a space where we were together in an awakened space that we could both recognize. Now, some of you may have had that experience, like momentarily with someone where all of a sudden you're like, woo, like you slip through. Maybe it's making love or playing music or, you know, doing something where you're with another human being and all of a sudden you really are together and you're in some kind of flow and you're connected and it feels like home. It feels like where human beings belong. Because I don't know about you, but whenever I would experience incredibly beautiful awakenings by myself, my immediate reaction was, I want to share this. Like, I'd want to go, hey, where's Diana? Where's this? You know, where's Lucas? You know, like, I'd want to bring people into the beauty of it. I didn't want it, even though I was experiencing being the whole universe. Like I was like, I wanted them to be inside the experience of that as well. And I'm sure you've experienced, you know, there are people that have experienced that as well. You know, even if you know how to regulate yourself and you know how to be in some beautiful space, it's like, what about, there's a kind of spiritual existential loneliness, which is a weird thing to say, but it kind of is like that. And with Peter, it was the first time I was like, for 4 years, I was home. I was not lonely. Like we were together in it. Okay. So that happened. And then he died and that there was a whole, you know, process, obviously I went through. But then the second thing of like, okay, you know, like you work on yourself forever, you know, that kind of hit. And then I began to try to work with people to bring them into some version of what Peter and I had experienced. Cause I thought it has to be possible. I mean, he and I weren't perfect. I don't know any really perfect people. You know, we're all sort of good enough spiritual, like a good enough mother. And, you know, somehow in that, there was potential. So, okay, so now we're going to go back to thresholds of unity. Okay, so I just wanted to give you that little bit of story there so that I can speak about these two different realms. So we're going to speak about the first threshold of unity and the second in this hour. The first threshold is this individual journey, this heroine's journey or hero's journey. And I'm going to speak about being human. That's so like, what is she talking about? Like it's so normal. It's so the way it is. It's like, why am I even talking about it? Okay. So see if you can listen and sort of get inside and allow yourself, you know, there's what we think is our nature that is not changing. And then there's evolution that creates whole new epochs, period. And we don't think that big most of the time. You know, most of the time we're in our old worlds or we watch the government or the things, you know, we sort of see different things, but we're still in this thing of we have a reptilian brain and, you know, there's all this, the way it is to be human. And we really do believe it. And we really feel that it can't change. What we can do is work with it, meditate, do certain things, but that's it. You know, that's like humanity is that's what we're stuck with. And I'm telling you, if we are humanity 3.0, we're in trouble. Anybody doubt that? I mean, really, I mean, we have close to 8 billion people. If we, you know, supposedly there's going to be 10 billion people by 2050, if, you know, we carry on procreating and we haven't destroyed things before then. I mean, how is that going to work? Human beings. So I'm going to talk about this in the individual threshold of how humans are designed at this point. Okay. How we are designed that we believe is and is. It is that way. And I'm going to challenge that when I talk about the second threshold, okay? So for many thousands of years, so we're not going to go all the way back to Cro-Magnon man and the Neanderthals. Obviously, there was some changes there, right? There's some evidence for the fact that we haven't always been this way. But for many thousands of years, the first threshold, the design of a human is basically that we live in a world where there's light and dark, there's good and evil, there's the rise and the fall of things. And we have what? You know, what is our human superpower? So raise your hand if you know what, in the face of that, what do humans have as the big gift from creation? Yeah, Joyce. Hold on, we had to unmute you so you can say it.
Self-awareness, self-consciousness, self-reflection.
Yeah, self-reflection is one thing that we were given, but we were given another piece to it. So there's light and dark, you know, there's the angel and the devil. What do we have? What also were we given?
the ability to hold differences.
That's true too.
Hold paradox.
Okay, yeah. Okay, so I'll let Mark answer, but that was good. That got us started. Mark?
Free will.
Okay. So free will. So think human design, right? Or we're designing a video game, okay? But it's the human, you know, human existence. So light and dark, you know, there's duality. And then humans are individual. You know, I'm over here. I'm in my own body and in my own karma. I land on this earth and have an incarnational existence. I have a soul, I have an ego, I have ancestors, I have DNA, and I have a second thing. So when you have free will and you have light and dark, you're here to learn, right? So you have free will, stuff happens, and you go, oh, I think I'll do this. And then it doesn't go well. And you're like, oh, you know, I shouldn't have done that. You know, you have whatever the effects are, the cause and effect, or you can call that karma if you want. And then you make another choice in order to learn through experience. We learn through experience. That's how we find our way. Okay. And then we have to forgive ourselves, and we have to forgive other people. And we have to accept ourselves, and we have to be accepting of our, you know, the fact that it is this way, and that Buddha said life is suffering. And the, you know, that whole, the whole thing that we just think is the way it's going to be forever is the first threshold. The best it can get is that you are, you know, you can be very base, you know, as a human, you can be unbelievably horrible and evil. I mean, there are people that do horrendous things. And you can be a saint. And most of us are somewhere in the middle. You can be incredibly successful, and you can be, you know, poor your whole life and almost, you know, unable to survive. Okay. So that's what we're given. You can rise to great heights and fall. You can have the most amazing marriage and then it goes awry. You can be crucified. I'm sure a lot of people here have had versions of crucifixion, you know, people that turned against you, that had certain things, and you can't even understand where it came from. And you survive it and possibly have a resurrection, you know, have a certain version of, you know, coming through it and finding your way and becoming more, you know, radiant and more of a beautiful human being for it. Or you're crushed. You know, sometimes people just can't recover. Okay. I know this is depressing, but you know, just in the individual threshold, in the first threshold, that is the journey. You have relationships in the first threshold. We're separate in the first threshold, right? So if I have a relationship with Julie, I'm learning how to be in relationship. I'm learning how to listen. I'm learning how to pay attention or have compassion. You know, I'm selfish or not selfish. I mean, the journey of relationship is still in separation. Those of you who work with in marriage counseling, you know, half the time you're stopping people from, you know, talking so you can go, okay, just stop for a second now, really listen. And you're trying to help them navigate the gulf of separation. You know, those of you who work with organizations, you're trying to get people to cooperate and collaborate. Good luck with that. You know, you know, when it works, oh, it's the best. But trying to get humans that are separate to coordinate in some way, anybody who's ever tried to do that, you know, it's a thing. Just give a party. Live in an ashram. You know, quote, enlightened people, spiritual people, it's just as difficult. Sometimes it's worse. So being separate, it's not because anyone's trying to not have it work. We're designed to be separate. It has a certain difficulty. There's a certain beauty to it. We're discovering our way. We're learning. We're on our path. And it's also, you know, has all kinds of difficulties. Free will is pretty clunky. You know, those super athletes, the ones that are like doing crazy, amazing things, they are not choosing. They're in some kind of flow state where they are not going, I wonder if I should go that way or this way. They'd be dead. You know, there's something else that takes over in those moments. So So you get the sense of the first threshold, right? Yes. Did I do it in too depressing a manner? I hope not. I mean, it's also pretty amazing. I mean, we came from being very primitive creatures, and we've created civilization, and, you know, we're able to have lattes with oat milk, and, you know, I mean, we're able to do all kinds of things, right? So, and help each other when we do. But it's not the whole thing. The first threshold includes all the kinds of spiritual work and psychological work and shadow and, you know, the various things that we're doing that are all really beautiful, good things. Because I told you, I've been there. I've done an enormous amount of work, and it's valuable and it's useful. And there's things that still need that, right? But there is, you know, there is another domain, and that's the second threshold, which I'm going to share with you. All right. So now, not just listen from inside my voice. All right. So come back. So now you guys are thinking about stuff and whether you believe what I'm saying or whatever. You know, have the opinions in a half an hour. Okay. Stay with me, like absorb it. And then in a half an hour, you can think about everything. Okay. Don't try to do too much of that right now. And there'll be a recording too, I think. Right, Carolyn? So you can even listen to it again and then have all the thinking that you want. So just stay inside with me. So I want to say something about evolution for a moment, and then we're going to go into the second threshold. So first of all, one of the things that Teilhard de Chardin, who was a Jesuit priest, spoke to, he was one of the forerunners of, I feel like one of the people who I feel connected to. One of the things that he said, which I thought was fascinating. So my friend, who I can't remember her name, but she said self-reflection was one of the gifts, that we can self-reflect. My cat can't self-reflect. It's probably a good thing. But the fact that humans can self-reflect, can think about what they're thinking, has given us civilization, has given us our sense of self. It's like one of the great miracles of all time. And that was given to humans. That compartmentalized mind was given about 6,000 years ago, very particularly, and civilization arose. What Teilhard said, which I thought was really fascinating, was that when the awareness of evolution came, it was as powerful, if not more, than self-reflection. So the next awakening was the fact that we could see ourselves, we could see the process that we're in, that we could actually see that there was something bigger going on. I promise most of you don't think about evolution when you wake up in the morning. I do. I mean, I'm obsessed, but, you know, that self, the fact that you're seeing from this larger view that you can't help it, is part of this second threshold. You start to actually see a much larger potential, and evolution, the evolutionary waves of creation, like what keeps creating existence. So if you really look, if you want to believe and have some hope, you know, when you get depressed, anybody ever get depressed these days about the direction of things? You know, it's like, put your forehead against the screen. Is that evolution exists. So evolution, we went from light to matter. How's that for a miracle? Explain that to me. So light to matter, we won't even go into that. And then matter, so if you start with the geosphere, you know, just light, just, you know, existence, rocks, fire, you know, there are planets that just have a geosphere. There's no life on them that we know of. But there was a jump at some point to life. All of a sudden, there were little organisms in the water out of nowhere. And flowers and creatures and bunny rabbits and, you know, all kinds of, and dinosaurs. And I mean, where does that come from? So evolution gives the potentials for existence. If evolution hasn't created the matrix or the potentials for what is next to exist, it doesn't exist. And we aren't any different. Humans have an enormous amount of creativity. We are a wild species. We're amazing. But we aren't evolution. You know, we aren't the source of it, which is a really, that's good news. Because we're too selfish and we're too crazy. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's too many things. You know, when you think about all the AI stuff, everybody's terrified because they know what we're like. At least at this level, at this separate, more selfish, more self-concerned level that's in survival, that has fear, et cetera, et cetera. And even though we've had the adage, you know, do unto others as they would have you do unto you. I mean, that's not really working, you know, on the grand scale. It's working in some ways. It's, you know, it's lifting certain humans for sure, without question. But design-wise, there's another jump. Evolution's ready for another jump. And there's a possibility, like if you're somebody who's at the beginning of things, remember I said, you know, I have a family that has a long history of being at the beginning of things, is when you hear and you don't know why you're attracted to something or you're beginning to pay attention to something, that's evolution now speaking to the humans that can begin to find their way into what I call shared unity. We need to discover how to go beyond, I know what's happening here, to like leaning into a different kind of consciousness, a different kind of medium and reality, where literally in the sharedness, it's not just two humans trying to find their way to connect. Okay, so you guys still with me? So the argument for evolution, just see if you can just stay open to that. Okay, that actually there is something that is trying to get our attention and that has not given up on existence. It really hasn't. It's going, hello, like, please, you know, and unfortunately we have free will. So then there's that other, there's the downside of we were given free will, which at this point makes it difficult because trying to get people to do things is, you know, there's a lot of unconsciousness. There's a lot of stubbornness. There's a lot of just paying attention to what's in front of you. Okay. So the second threshold has to do with now, instead of that, I can experience unity myself individually, that it's like what Peter and I tripped over, that we literally ended up being in a space, in a consciousness, in a kind of, it was almost like a medium of aliveness. It was so alive that we were in shared unity. We were inside something different that we literally, even when he died, I couldn't not feel him. And this second threshold, instead of just consciousness or self-reflection, it's love. Like it really is a different, I mean, love is different than being aware. It has a different MO. It really does. And in this second threshold, so this is really important, and this is the thing you won't understand, but if you learn how to enter into this, we've taught, you know, a lot of people at this point how to enter into the reality of what I'm pointing to, the consciousness of what I'm pointing to. That when you lean in together, what evolution is starting to give us. So if I'm, you know, if Ellen and I lean into a practice and we're doing it the way that I learned with Peter, right? Then we're connecting not from my story, her story, my intentions, her intentions, my compassion, her story, vice versa, We're still separate. There's no oneness there. There's no shared unity there. There's no new kind of way of being human. We lean in, and what happens is the origination point, our source of identity, is given from the future in this medium of unity. Okay, so just listen to that again. So the source of identity is no longer the incarnational journeyer. It's a different source of identity, and it's not the soul, and it's not your essence, and it's not your authentic self. It's coming from a different source. It's as different from rocks and bunny rabbits. Geosphere, biosphere. I call it the spondosphere, which we won't get into because we don't have time, but it's a different source. It actually, when you're in that place with another, and then all of a sudden you're in it too. I mean, it isn't just because I'm with Ellen. It's like I'm accessing something that I can't access by myself. I can't close my eyes and find it. It doesn't exist that way. It exists through. Now, the more I come from that origination point, being with her and love and the rest of it, I start to be more transparent. I don't have to shore up my boundaries. I can walk around New York City, you know, the people that have been around, I've been having fun. And there's like a transparency, like there's something that flows through me, like life, instead of, ooh, this energy and that energy is too much for me. Which when you're in the individual, you know, and you become sensitized to yourself and all the rest of it, you know, you can't handle being in the subway. And the self-care and the other things that you have to maintain. Here, there's a different, like you're sourced and nourished. And there's transparency, and there's literally a different speed. It's almost like instead of being on Earth, walking around with gravity, you're up in space, where you're going really fast and you feel like you're floating. Does that make sense? You know, we're so used to being on the Earth, moving in a linear fashion with gravity, with things. And there's a sense of embodiment in the second threshold. As you can locate, begin to really find it, it's bigger than your body. It's not that you're like amorphous, you're just embodied. It's like if you have a lover that you have like a divine, you know, some where there's a spiritual connection. And you're just alive, like you feel connected, you feel their body, your body, you know, like it's all like one thing. It feels so amazing. Only I feel that when I walk around. It's life. It's like this livingness. And we worry about the animals. We worry about the planet and trying to get people to pay attention. There's those of you who that is your work. I'm telling you. The different phases, you know, the what do you call it? The biosphere is quiet, right? There's no mind in the biosphere. Like when you walk around in the mountains, if you have your dog with you, he might bark a little bit, but he's not thinking. He's not judging you. That's why we love our animals, because they just look at us and they go, So it's nice and quiet. You go to the beach. And then there's the noosphere. There's the thinking layer of the world, which is where humanity in the first threshold is busy. And it's just like, you know, it's very, 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 very noisy. There's a lot going on. This next place where the second threshold exists, strangely, it becomes very alive. And it's quieter in a particular way that's different from, you know, being a cat. It really is. It's like, and you feel the animals and you feel all of it. Very, very, you know, like do unto others as you would have them do unto you gets lived. because you don't have to think about it. You just feel it. Okay. So is this helping? All right. What did I do? Okay. So we should answer a few questions, right, Carolyn? So that's as much as I can give you on the second threshold at the moment. By the way, there's my creature. Okay.
So I'm going to invite Sandra. She has a couple of questions, but the last one is more specific to how to locate the second threshold. So, all right, Sandra, here we go.
Hi, Sandra.
Hi, wow, thank you very much. So I'm not sure if I was typing a question. Did you mention how to locate the second threshold? Because it sounds like an amazing next evolution. So I thought I need to know how to do that.
Yeah. Okay. So that's what I'm devoted to be honest, you know, is so we have most of my work is communicating so that people can at least hear that there's something else that's possible. And then the people like yourself that go, okay, let me add it. You know, like I want to find it. You know, I want to find that. I want to be there. Is that we have like, we've narrowed it down to a month. So we have a 4-week course, for lack of a better term, to bring people into what I call the mutual awakening practice. Okay. So there's a practice that takes you and someone else who's committed and interested in doing this, because it's mutual. You actually need two people that want this. You can't just do it by yourself with somebody who isn't that interested. And you learn how to enter into this space. And you also get to have 2 weeks. We have a global community that has 1 to 2 to sometimes 3 practices a day where people from around the world practice.
Ah, and so is that basically what you shared with Peter? Because I've never had that. And when you were describing it, I was just crying because that must have been like euphoric.
Well, it's beyond euphoric. It's like you're crying because there's a part of you that goes, yeah. Instead of that being rare, that should be home.
Yeah, the loneliness of being on this path is, I mean, I it's in the sense that like my guides and everything, and I'm like, I'm just killing it. But the scaredness of what you were talking about, I'm so far beyond what people can even understand that I don't even really even try anymore.
No, I've been gathering. So I think one of my greatest, if anyone wants to be grateful, I think there's two things that I'm a crazy, like I'm willing to listen to the edges of things and I don't care what anybody thinks. And then the second thing is I gather the most amazing people together because you can't do this with just anybody. It has to be people who want to do it, who are committed. You know, there's a level of integrity, you know, that's necessary to create that space. But then you come in there and you're the subtlety, the depth, like the things that you want to be challenged by, feeling met. Yeah. So, I mean, that's where, I mean, my heart is what keeps me on the planet is, you know, because Peter's not here, is the fact that there are, you know, we have 150 or more people that are deeply in this ongoingly. And really, it's like, if I practice with any one of them, it's amazing. And that's a big deal because you can't always find that. So yeah, so we will tell you. So those of you who are new, there are many people here that are actually inside our global community and they're practicing. And I see them, you know, I'll see them tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock Pacific time. But basically, you know, to learn how to do that. And then there's potentials from there. That's what I'm committed to. Yeah. So we will let you know. Yeah. So those of you who are new, that's the next step for you. The next step will be, and we'll show you really quickly some slides before I run out of time, right, Carolyn? Just really quickly, and you'll get an email. And if you're interested, you'll come. If you're not, you won't. You know, it's fine. It's not for everybody, clearly. So, question? Any other questions?
Yes, we had another one from Hannah about the ninth wave. So I'm going to bring her up.
And Hannah.
Here we go.
Oh, I didn't know that you would actually take my question. It was a big question, and you may not have time. But the way that I came to you was through the work of Carl Johan Kalemann, who said that he really believes that you've tapped into what he's trying to describe in his work on the Mayan calendar. And I wondered if there's space here for you to address that.
Yeah, I mean, Carl.
Carl,
it was interesting. I was like tapping into the things in the ninth wave, and I didn't know what to call it. You know, I have my own words for it, and Carl found me, and I was just like, I love you, you know, I love you. His work is brilliant, and I know how to give you access to being aligned with the ninth wave, and that will make sense to you. I promise that is exactly what we're doing. And having access is everything, and living it. And having more and more people be inside this reality and letting that become more and more real, you need always in any spiritual process, you need to manifest as much as possible. It's the reality that you're pointing to, and that helps it land in this world. So, and we're the cells. We happen to be the cells of the ninth wave of the next thing. If you don't know what that means, don't worry. Okay. Yeah. One more, Carolyn, or should I?
All right. Let's do one more. Ellen, hold on. Let me get you up. Ellen has a question, has a larger question for you.
We love big questions.
There we go.
Okay.
Okay. Can you hear me now? I think.
Yes.
Yes. Okay, great. So, can you, it's almost like instigate, all right? Can you create this second threshold, which I think I felt it, with people that aren't in that place yet? So can you actually, like I think, I go, of course, to my corporate environments, but I mean, it's like that you can see that that's what's needed and you see what's going on.
Yeah.
And then through your experience of the second threshold, bring them there. I mean, does that make, you have to have two people committed yet? You know,
because I know you, okay. One of the things is when you come inside this and you get like, oh, like you're in the right world, okay, and you really get it. I would love to talk to you about if you want to bring this in an appropriate way into the business world for creativity. Like I always wonder, like Google and these people are meditating. They should be doing this. This is like pure creativity and flow, right?
Yeah.
I mean, God, you know, like, I'm like, really, you want to close your eyes and calm down? No, you want to like go into flow. So we can have a conversation about that. But for anyone who's like, yeah, well, what about, you have to get so deeply inside this because this is different than you think.
Okay.
So you have to really seriously be like, you know, like really, and it's a joy. I mean, it's not like, you know, it's a pure joy is that when you really land there, you're like, oh, okay. And I can see where they are and I can see this. And then this is then what becomes necessary in order to actually, you know, we could change the course to some degree to create for a world that's, you know, that doesn't relate to it.
Yeah, it's like
waiting for that.
It's like you go to an ashram, you study with a guru, and then you go home. and right. you land back in our life, you know, and how do you then therefore bring forth what, you know?
Well, this is a living reality. So the thing is that what we have is a living, like, cause you need other people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm sorry, if you want to like learn something and then go back and sit in your room, don't do this. You're just a waste of your time. You know, it's like, this is about breaking that sound barrier, you know, breaking that gravitational pull so that you're literally mm-hmm. beginning to be like, oh, okay. And then through our being together in that way, I feel more like instead of serving people, I'm serving evolution, you know, mm-hmm. but bringing us together so something can continue to keep showing us like what's possible, what's possible, what's possible.
Mm-hmm. That's okay. What we'll talk about. There's a lot to be, I find that world is around us is much more open to this than it's ever been before.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
And it is the only way.
As they say, we'll talk. Okay. As they say in New York, we'll talk. So I just want to show you one thing quickly for those of you who are new, for those of you who are like, yeah, I, you know, that you haven't learned how to do this. This is not for my, you know, people in global and people in the core. The conversation next week about the third threshold is really more specifically for you. And I hope this one even further illuminated just what you've been doing. It's always good to hear about what you've been doing. So can you show the slides, Carolyn, for these guys? So just quickly, I will be teaching. I haven't taught one of these courses in a while. So I will be teaching the Mutual Awakening course. It starts Saturday, June 3rd through the 24th. It's an hour and a half, 9 to 10:30 Pacific time. Do the math in your own area. And just show them the modules. So there's four modules. And after the second module, the purpose of the first two modules really is to get you in shape so that we can put you into the global community. You'll have 2 weeks. I'll continue to work with you, you know, module 3 and 4, but you'll be able to practice with the people that know how to practice from around the world for 2 weeks. You can go every day if you want. And that really is part of it. Do you know what I mean? Not that you have to do it every day, but you need to do it at least a couple times so that you experience like what it really feels like to enter into this and to deepen and to really kind of get your sea legs in shared unity. Okay. So that's part of it. So there's 4 modules, 2 weeks. You get the, you know, you get the video downloads and all that kind of stuff. And you also can take it over and over again for no charge. So you know, it's a very pretty generous offer. Go to the next one, Carolyn. It's $297. If you want to pay in 2 payments, it's $173.50 each. And you have a money back guarantee on the second threshold. Okay, so keep going. And those of you, you're going to get an email. So you may want to open it to support some further education, like further scaffolding so that you know, understand even more about what I'm talking about. There are bonuses. So if you register by
next week for the next one. This one, this particular bonus is a little bit longer.
So you'll get the access to. So by next week, which has to do with this pull of the future, the hidden power of longing, the Omega and the origination point and wholehearted engagement. And then there's a further bonus. This is the 4 pillars of awakened mutuality. And this is like 12 hours of teachings that will really flush out. Cause this is very original material, you know, as far as you wouldn't have heard this before. Creative union, fusion, cosmic coherency, we mysticism, which is a big part of it, sacred dialogue, how do you open up into the kind of communication and spiritual transparency. So it's really, those are amazing. And if you register, I guess by tomorrow night, if you think you're gonna do this, you should just register and get all the bonuses and start working, start listening, okay? And you'll get an email so you can look at it all and decide if this is the right thing for you, okay? So I just wanted to give you that. Yeah. And we are, the other thing to know, just really quickly before I run out of time, is because of what this is, the second threshold is this sacred kind of connection. And so we are very devoted. We're very careful and caring. And we have people on the course when I'm teaching it that know how to practice, and we pair them up with you. And, you know, we're really taking you so that you know how to practice. You know, we're not just sort of leaving you like, here's the information, good luck. It's very, very caring. It's a very conscious container. And you have to show up. So it's not one of those things where you can just listen to it. You got to show up and actually practice with us. Okay. So that's it. So if you have any questions about any of that, you can send to Carolyn@Evolutionary Collective any specific questions that you might have that we didn't cover. Okay. And thank you. Thank you for showing up from all over the world. I love meeting the new people, and you know, if this makes sense to you, and if not, it's fine. Do you know what I mean? Even if it doesn't make sense, but you feel something, you should probably follow that. All right, let's unmute the lines. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful rest of your Saturday. Bye, everyone.
Thank you.
Bye. Thank you. Bye.